house of the Lord. Because God's met with us. Amen. God has met with us. And I appreciate so much what the Lord is doing and what He's done over the years. And want to rejoice in the Lord this morning. You know, we're to rejoice in the Lord always, aren't we? And no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, we always to rejoice, give thanks to God always. You know, we just to give thanks to the Lord. Always something good to praise the Lord over and give God the glory. And I appreciate the language school is not easy. Let me tell you that. These people say they can just pick it up easy. I don't know any of them anyway. Language school was pretty rough. I've seen growing men. I mean, men, 250 pounds. I know one right now. I mean, he'd walk out of them classes I never did break down and cry, but he broke down and cried like a baby. I mean, language school is rough on you. And but anyway, praise the Lord, I went out and started that work there in Georgianopolis in 1985. Just finished language school in December of 84 and started the church in February of 1985. And as you know, struggling with it and, you know, trying to speak and trying to give out the gospel, and I memorized 1 Corinthians 15, you know, the first few verses were, you know, the gospel that Paul delivered unto them, first of all, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried according to the Scriptures, and the third day rose again according to the Scriptures. I memorized that in the Portuguese, and I would use that, you know, hundreds of times telling people. And sometimes you get up and try to preach in another language and you just struggle with it. You know, you just struggle. I don't struggle no more. I say more than they want to hear now. But but anyway, you struggle with it. And one missionary helped me out one time. He said, after about a year, just going, I mean, just, you know, spending hours and hours and hours getting the message together and getting up and just being able just to read what you've prepared is about all you could do. Is read it, and it took a while before you could really express yourself the way I do in English. But anyway, one missionary helped me out. He said, "Well, Brother Paul, you're going home next year?" I said, "No, sir, I'm not going nowhere." He said, "Well, you'll get it." Next year come around, I said, "Man, I'm still struggling with this language." He said, "Are you going anywhere? Are you going back to the States?" I said, "No, I'm not going back to the States." He said, "Well, you'll get it." Amen. I got it. Amen. My sons, of course, they picked up the language so much easier than my wife and I. But my wife and I studied in a language school together, and we would take the materials that they give us during the classes, and we'd go home, and we'd sit down knee to knee, getting two chairs, just knee to knee. And we'd drill one another. And so the Lord blessed us and helped us. And we come to find out that it's the same thing in Portuguese as it is in English. Amen. We're Bible, the Word of God. They got a good Bible, good, not a King James Bible, but it is a Bible that comes from the Textus Receptus, which we get our King James Bible. And it's a good, good, good Bible. And we can preach it with confidence, just like we do here, saying, you know, this is the Word of God. And so the Lord's been good to us there to help us with the works. I believe that, like I was saying, we started a church in 85. We started a church in 90. We started another church in 92. We started another church in 97. We started another church in 2000 and, 2005, right, 2005. Then we started another church in 2010 and started another church in 2011 and 12. So that's a lot. Amen. That's the Lord's blessed, and you've had a part of that. You've had a part of that. And, you know, it's something how God blesses that. He just blesses. And I just walk around yesterday seeing all the blessings. You know, there's just a little building there when I came here years ago, and now you have a wonderful fellowship hall, and you have a wonderful church that God's given you. And thank God you got a wonderful pastor. Amen. Amen. God bless him, and God bless you, my brother, and continue to help you as you lead the flock of God. You know, we have a responsibility that's very, very, you'd have to step down to be the president on our job, amen. But anyway, just pray for us. Pray the Lord will continue to work and help us. I didn't mention, one of the brothers listening, it'd probably take, you know, 2 or 3 hours to mention it because things keep coming. But the first thing we did in 1985, forgive me if I've said a date wrong, okay? 1985, sometimes Portuguese falls out and I don't want it to. You know, sometimes I'm thinking two different languages. But anyway, the first thing we did, we took on a missionary in Brazil. I mean, when he started the church, we took on a missionary. And thank God that today we have 25 missionaries that the church, we have missionaries in Africa, we have missionaries in Portugal, we have missionaries all over Brazil, in the Amazon. There's places in the Amazon that no white person can go. You have to be, you know, they won't let you in. They won't let you into those places. So last year, there were 4 Indian missionaries, wonderful men of God, that were trying to raise their support, and they came by our church, 4 of them. And so we had them to line up and give their testimony of what they're going to do. And, you know, there's some places up in the Amazon that it takes weeks and weeks in a little motorboat to get up into where those places are. There are places in the Amazon, the Amazon River is 200 miles wide. Now that is a big river. And so they got so many channels that comes into the Amazon. I mean, you know, miles and ten and hundreds of miles up in there. And so these Indians came by, and it was a unanimous vote. We took on all 4 of them at one time. And so we're hearing reports about what they're doing, and just thank God. Missions is the heart of God, missions. And I praise the Lord that we can work and do what God wants us to do. The greatest missionary ever lived was Jesus Christ. Came the farthest, didn't he? He came to this earth to give his life for you and I. And because he lives, ye shall live also. And not only did he give us life, but he gave us life more abundantly. You know, that's what we enjoy today, isn't it? It's not that we're just alive. I mean, we're alive and we have a lively hope, don't we? It's alive, and thank God for the joy that we have serving the Lord. And he gives us abundant life. He didn't only just give us love, he gave us love that passes all understanding. Isn't that amazing how God is good to us? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And we'll get you out of here in a little bit. And we can go have a fellowship and have some good corn. And, well, I better not tell you that. You won't pay no attention to the message. I'll tell you what's on the menu. And we'll be here about 15 minutes, amen? But anyway, the book of 1 Thessalonians, just let me give you just a moment of history. The book of 1 Thessalonians was written, of course, by the Apostle Paul. And if you read in the book of Acts, chapter number 16 and chapter number 17, the Bible says that Paul and Silas had tried to get into Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit forbid them to go. And that night, Paul, in chapter number 16 of Acts, Paul had a vision. And there was a man in his vision, and that man said to him, "Paul, come over into Macedonia and help us." So Paul, surely that it was the Lord, Paul and Silas begin on their journey to go to Thessalonica, over into the country of Macedonia. And on the way, in chapter 16, Paul and Silas got put in jail. You know that. They beat them and put them in jail. But in chapter number 17, the Bible says, "And they came into Thessalonica." They got there, and the Bible says, for 3 Sabbath days, the Apostle Paul, there's a synagogue there, And the Apostle Paul went into that synagogue, and for three Sabbath days, he taught them out of the Scriptures, alleging that Christ must have suffered and must have died and must have risen from the grave. So this is how this church actually got started. Is Paul went into their synagogue, and for three Sabbath days, he taught them right out of the Bible, right out of the Scriptures, that Christ must suffer, that Christ must die, that Christ must raise again. And Paul, as he was telling them, there was a people saved come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in that church. Now, that church at that time was made up of Greeks, which are devout Greeks, the Bible says, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There were Jews that came to know Christ in those Sabbath days. There were also a great multitude of people that came to know Christ. Also, there were chief women and honorable women that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They were saved by God's amazing grace. But this church was started in response to a missionary calling of God. God told him, I want you to go, I'm going to send you a vision. I want you to know that I'm calling you to this place. Now, in May of 1979, I was in Bible college studying. I was still in Bible college. I still had another year to go. I'd finished up my junior years. I had one more year to go. And on a Thursday night, they preached a message on missions. And I got my wife by the hand and my three boys, and we went down to that altar, and I told my wife, I said, honey, let's just go and pray and ask God what He wants us to do in our lives. And we went to that altar, and we just simply prayed, and Lord, here am I. Here am I, Lord. Here's my life. You know, I was in Bible college. I was wanting to know what God was wanting me to do in my life. And that was on a Thursday night. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit woke me up and said, son, I want you to go to Brazil, South America. And, you know, God had called me. He called me to salvation. God had called me to preach October the 10th, 1976. And here it is, May of 1979, and the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart about being a missionary. So the next morning I got up and I said, Lord, was that you last night? Was that really you, Lord? And so, you know, I went on to work and worked in a factory there in Greenville, South Carolina. And about 11 o'clock, I hadn't mentioned anything to anyone. About 11 o'clock that day, a man comes running to me, another man that was in Bible college with me, and he's crying and he's shouting. He said, Paul, I said, what happened? He said, God called me to Brazil. And he said, come here and look. And he took me over there and he showed me where he'd put a round circle in the floor. And in that round circle, he wrote these words, Brazil for God. And he was standing right there when God called him, he said. And so he comes, he's rejoicing, and I said, thank God, amen, God got him one, amen. That's what went through my mind. You know, God got him one. It's okay now. But you know the story, that didn't work out. But anyway, that was Friday. And by the way, he did go to Brazil. He did go to Brazil, that brother did. He didn't stay, but he did go to Brazil. So Friday passes, Saturday passes, Monday, come around Monday, and I got home from work on about 4:30, and my sons, Paul, Mark, and Eric, they had built them a little church out by the garage. They'd cleaned everything out, put them up some blocks, and put a bench across it. And my oldest boy at that time was about 12 years old. And he was preaching to the other two. And they caught me before I even went in the house. Now here, God had burdened my heart that Friday morning at 3 o'clock. And I was carrying it. You know, I was praying. I was asking God, Lord, please, you let me know for sure. You know, we know for sure, but we still want to know for sure. You ever... I said, just help me, Lord, help me to understand it. Help me to do your will. And so my boys called me and said, Dad, come here. I said, Dad, preach to us. Come here, preach to us. And here there were three little boys sitting down there on that bench, and they had them a little podium made. And I got my Bible out. Always carried a Bible. I used to have a little small Bible. I could see those little letters back then. And it had the whole Bible in it. Whole Bible I carried in my pocket. And they said, "Preach to me." I said, "Okay, boys, let me find something here. I'm going to skin your hide. Let me find something. I'm going to skin your hide." And I just opened the Bible. It fell open to Jonah chapter number 1. So I started reading down through Jonah chapter 1. Here is a man, I told them, boys, I said, here is a man that God has called, and here he's trying to escape the call of God. I actually heard what I said after it went out and come back in. And the more I talked about Jonah, the more the Holy Spirit pricked my heart. So we went in the home area, and I said, "Boys, come here." And we went in, knelt down, brought my wife in, and I said, "I got an announcement to make." I said, "God wants us to be missionaries in Brazil, South America." And I've surrendered to that. And the joy bells begin to ring, and they've been ringing ever since. I said, "Lord, just give me a scripture. Please, Lord, give me a scripture that here in 5 years or so I would be able to go back to that word, because the word don't change. It's forever set on heaven. I'd go back to that scripture and I'd have peace that, Lord, because when you go to a foreign field, you better have some scripture, amen. You better have some peace that God's got you there for a reason." So I said, "Lord, please give me something." So he just told me, he just spoke to my heart, said, "Just go ahead and open your Bibles to Romans chapter number 1. Any of you remember what Romans chapter number 1 verse 1 says? Let me remind you. It says, Paul. That's how it starts. Romans chapter 1 says, Paul. That's me. A servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says. That's Paul, and I'm a servant. And the next word, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, called. I didn't need no more. That's what I've been using for all these years. And that's still there. Amen? Still there. So Paul was called to start this church in Thessalonica. But when he writes to them, as you read Corinthians, he says unto the church in Corinth. As you read the churches where Paul started the Ephesian church, he said to those that are in Ephesus. But when he opened this book, and when he started writing to these people, he said, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. He didn't say the city. He's writing to them, amen. He's writing to a people. And he loves them. And you know, he goes on to say that. But 1 Thessalonians, if you read the end of each chapter, and this is, I'm probably getting myself deeper than I can get out. But anyway, if you read every chapter, I'm sure Brother Keith's seen that. In every chapter, end of the chapter, it talks about Christ coming. Every chapter talks about Jesus Christ coming. But what I want you to see this morning, just three little words, and we've got time, I believe, to get it over to you. It says, we thank God, verse number 2, we thank God, we give thanks to God always for you all. He must have been a southerner, all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Paul is saying to these folk down there in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians, he said, listen, I remember all your work of faith. Do you know what we need to have here in Red Level in Brazil? We need to have a work of faith. God blesses faith. God honors faith. And everything we do, we need to do it by faith. And he remembered these folks. He said, it's a work of faith. I thank God that God's given us faith to believe, don't you? Faith to believe, it's not our faith. Paul said this, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, folks, we got to have a work of faith. I went to Brazil, and that's what it's been. It's been faith. It's been a work of faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. How many of you in here this morning, when you was in that old building or when you was growing and the church began to grow, how many of you in your heart's mind could see this building sitting here? Amen? You know what that was? That was faith. That's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So listen, by faith we walk. By faith we live. By faith we serve our risen Savior. Thank God for that. By faith, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. By faith, if you don't do it by faith, you're not going to get the work done. The Bible says this. He says that we're kept, in 1 Peter 1, 5, we're kept by faith. In the book of Thessalonians, the Bible says we are established by faith. In the book of James, he says we are healed by faith. Our life is to consist of faith. Well, Brother Pritchard, I don't have enough faith. I don't seem like I've got faith. You know how you get faith? Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, I was witnessing one time, Brother Keith, to an 80-year-old man. He'd never been to church. Not one time in his life. I asked him, I said, his name was James. I said, James, could I come and see you again next week? He said, yes. So I went back and seen James. And I read to him the Bible. I read the woman at the well. I read the lepers, the story of the lepers. I said, James, can I come back next week? He said, yes, you can come back. I read another story to him. I went back the next week and read another story to him. You know, the Word of God. And you know what? After a few weeks, he said, are you coming back next week? I said, yes, sir, I'll be back. What was I doing? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The only way a person can be saved is by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And faith is what we, where we get faith is from God's Word. Are you listening? I went by and seen him the first month, every week. I went by and seen him the second month, every week. I went by and seen him the third month, every week. After the third month, he said, you coming back next week, aren't you? After the sixth month of every week, I walked up on his front porch at 8 o'clock in the morning. He said, preacher, come on in here. He said, I want to get saved. You know what? That's the Word of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's dynamite of God. Listen, if we put the Word of God in people's lives, something will happen. They'll increase their faith. It needs to be our work. Our work in Brazil, our work here needs to be a work of faith. God help us. Amen. The Bible says in Galatians 3:11, we're to live by faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we're to walk by faith. The Bible says in Romans 5 that we are justified by faith. You want to increase your faith? Read the Bible. Read, what, 3 or 4 chapters a day? You can read the whole Bible in a year. Amen. I pray you're reading the Bible. I'm not going to challenge you. Maybe the pastor will challenge you later. But in 2015, in 2014, I told the people, I said, read your Bible and I'll take you out for lunch. I had 14 people do it. 2015, I said, in 14, I said, read your Bible and I'll take you out for lunch. So in 2015, I think I had around 21 people that I took out. January, first when the year starts. And you know, that was a real treat for them to go out for lunch. I mean a real treat. That's the only time of the year that they got to go out. I mean, it's not like us. We go out anytime we want to. But in 2016, those that read their Bible in 2015, you know what? I had 29 people that read their Bible through. In 2016, I had 37 people in the church to sign up that they're going to read it through. But all of us need to read the Bible through. Amen. Read it through. Be consistent. If you've been saved very long, just read your Bible. I challenge you. You know why you need to read the Bible? Because you are a spiritual being. You are, if you're saved by the grace of God, you have a divine nature, and that divine nature needs food. You mean the Bible, Brother Pritchard, is food? Let me tell you this one. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What about Peter said this? Didn't he say that as newborn babes desire what? The sincere milk of the Word. Did you know the Bible is milk? The Bible is meat. The Bible, if you go over in Jeremiah, it's honey. And who don't like meat? The Bible's meat. But there's one thing about the meat of the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter number 5, if you read Hebrews 5, you'll find that meat belongs to them who have had their senses exercised to discern what's good and right, bad and good. And when a person, you know, it's good to read your Bible, right? Okay, you're growing. It's good to come to church, right? You're growing. It's good to love your neighbor, right? You're growing. And when you have your senses exercised, you grow and you become more strong in the things of God. Anyway, the Word of God, that clock flies down. In the Word of God, the Bible is actually alive. Do you know it's the only book in the world that's alive? The only book in the world that is literally alive. Brother Pritchard, those words, let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's alive. But not only is the book alive, the book gives you life. How does it do that? Do you know that you're saved by the Bible? You're saved by the Word of God. Jesus said, I have begotten them through the Word of truth. Thy Word is truth. Peter said this, and he said, being what? Born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We must work by faith. Look what else he said. Now, I won't get through it, but we'll stop somewhere. Not only, Paul said, it was a work of faith, but it was a labor of love. You know, God knows if you love them. People know if you love them, don't they? People know if you're genuine and you love them. So our labor needs to be a labor of love. We need to work by faith, but it needs to be a labor of love. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, that the love of Christ, help me, what does it do? It constrains us. You know why we love one another? Because He first loved us. But our labor in Christ, it needs to be a labor of love. Like that Brother James, it took me a long time, but I was determined. I was determined to give him the Word of God until he said, no, brother, no, Paul, no, preacher, I don't want you to come back. I won my brother-in-law, won my brother, Sir Lord, the same way. Just consistent, just giving it to them. Amen. A labor of love. Let God, we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brother. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, for God so loved the world, didn't he? That he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have It needs to be love. You know, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. If you see John 3:16, God so loved the world, if you go to 1 John 3:16, it tells us that we are to lay down our lives for the brethren. He laid down His life for us, and we lay down our lives. Let me give you this, and we'll close. The third thing here is we need to not only work a faith, a labor of love, but we need to be patient, have patience in hope, and patient of hope. You and I, thank God, have a hope, don't we? A hopeful endurance. We're to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us, and we're to run with patience the race. I went to mission field, my hair was black, believe it or not. Amen. But it's been wonderful. A lot of things have happened, robbed. And I live in a place where it takes its toll on you. We bought a piece of property, Brother Keith, inside of a place where there's 154 pieces of property. And around that property, we have an electric fence. And we have a guard that goes around. Used to be they used to go around on horses. They've got motor scooters now, but it used to be they go around on horses 24 hours a day to guard us. And then where we live, we have a 10-foot fence around our little place. And on top of that 10-foot fence is an electric fence. But you know what? Except the Lord guard the city, you labor in vain, don't you? But it takes a toll on you mentally to be under that pressure every day, every day, every day. But we have to be patient in hope. Let God take care of us. Amen. The testimony in the trials and in the troubles, the hope that God gives us will sustain us. Christ, the Bible says, is our hope. You and I have a blessed hope. I was thinking, walking around out in the yard and just admiring everything that you got, and walking by the graves and the plots out there, so clean, so nice and beautiful. And I was thinking about, you know, God buried Moses. You know that, didn't you? And you know, they never did find his place where he was buried. Never did. But in the New Testament, you know what says that the devil fought with the angels over the body of Moses? What are you saying, Brother Pritchard? Well, as I walk around praying and giving tribute to those that's out there, I tell you, God, He takes care of us. Who knows? He might have His angels just sitting around everywhere, watching, taking care of it, until it's just a body there. But He's going to bring that spirit back. He's going to unite that body. He's going to resurrect that body, change that body, put a new spirit, put your spirit back in that body. Thank God we're going to have a brand new body. But, you know, God probably just watching over us until that day comes, whether we're alive or our body's laying somewhere. God can do that, can't He? God can do that. Father, we love You this morning. Lord, we're challenged this morning by knowing that we just need to work by faith. We need to labor for You with a true heart and love You, Lord, and love others. And then we pray, Lord, that You'd help us to be patient in the hope that we have. We know You're coming. Help us to wait. Help us to be patiently waiting for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior. Lord, we love You this morning. Thank You for new hope, Father. Thank You so much for these folks that are here, and pray for us and stand with us and help us as we labor for You in another country. We love You, Father, and pray in Jesus' name. As stand to our feet just for a moment, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to challenge you this morning to, if you lack faith, read and study the Word of God. Do it every day. Study your Bible. Read your Bible. Labor for God with love. And just wait upon the Lord. The Bible says in Thessalonians there in chapter 1, they turned from idols to serve the true and the living God and to wait for His Son from heaven. That's what we're doing right now. We're wait. Let's be patient. Let's endure with patience during these times of trial. Just one day at a time. I tell the folks in Brazil all the time, you live one day at a time. You get up and you get in touch with heaven. You get up and you study, read your Bible, and meditate with God before you ever get the day started. And spend some time with the Lord every day. And those days will soon be months, and those months will soon be years. And the next thing, we will be in glory. Help us. I pray, Lord, help these folk here today just to be faithful, faithfully working for God, Father. Is there anyone here this morning who need to obey the Lord if God's spoken to your heart? Maybe you got loved ones that need prayer. Don't ever give up. Just keep praying for them. Keep visiting them and keep going after them until they come in. Lord, help us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Keith.